1 Corinthians chapter 9, in church that I basically, when I say grew up in, I was a young adult just fresh out of the Air Force at the time, so growing up would have been spiritually rather than physically and spiritually at the same time. Although I was rather young for my age, I guess you could say, but through that time, our pastor back there on that Sunday night service before New Year's. Now, they didn't have a Sunday night service like you guys are planning for tomorrow night. And the only good part is that we're 3 hours earlier, so if you've already adjusted to the time, when it's midnight there, it'll feel like, well, you guys are in Central Time, right? So it'll feel like 10 o'clock. It'll be a little bit better for you, but I know that that's not an easy adjustment to go back, especially after you travel for as long as you have to travel tonight for that overnight trip. So, but our pastor used to have a preacher boys time. Now, these were in that church. It was a fairly large church, and at for many of the years that I was there, we had a missions academy or what Bible Institute, basically. They called the missions academy, and we would have men sign up to preach. Now, these are basically young guys, preacher boys, and they were on fire, and he gave everybody a limit of about 5 to 7 minutes, and I think he emphasized the five more than anything. Thankfully, I'm the only preacher boy here tonight, and so we don't have to worry about that, but I don't plan on keeping you too long. I had an impression earlier from someone that suggested that I would just keep it simple, make it straightforward, make sure that what I'm teaching is something that's going to be useful, but don't confuse it, which I'm already getting to that point as it is right now. But so we're going to start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if I can get there. And as is our practice, if you could stand, if you're able to stand while we read this, it's just four verses here, but starting in verse number 19, it says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we're so grateful for your goodness to us. We're thankful, Father, for your patience, your grace, your goodness to us. And Lord, as we think about this past year that of things that have happened in our lives, of people that we knew or had with us, or worshiped with us, or served with us, that, Father, are now either gone or have moved somewhere else, or, Lord, just many things that might have happened. And we pray, Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for the fact that we are here together as your people, as, Lord, a family that can join together to go forward, looking forward to this next year and the things that you might do for us, Lord. And Father, we don't know what's in store for us in the future, but we know this one thing, that without you, it's fruitless to be able to live on. And we do pray that you would give us the strength and give us the understanding of, Lord, how we are to live our lives so that we can be your servants, so that we can serve you in the same way that Paul talked about here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There is something that in that chorus that we sang, this is why I asked Chris the number of that song, but not I, but Christ. It says, "Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord." And I can tell you from experience and from teaching students and understanding their, put this back so it's out of my way, but from students when many times in our devotions in school, I remind the students that Satan gets a lot of credit for doing things that he doesn't even have to do, because we are our own worst enemies for the most part. And I think that many times we allow things to crowd into our lives that distract us from the focus that God has given to us as his children, of the things that we should be doing. A few weeks ago, when Pastor Niemann had preached on a Wednesday night, he was talking about the birth of Christ and the announcement to Mary that she was going to bear this child. And it was eye-opening to me in one particular aspect. So if you can turn back there to Luke chapter 1. So in Luke chapter 1, I think that the attitude that we see here with Mary really should be reflective of what we as God's children, His servants, His people should have in our own lives. And it says here in verse number 26, chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to be to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art favored, or highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And this is something that Pastor Niemann had focused on in this verse. He said, "Then had said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And emphasizing the situation she's in. She's not understanding how this could be a possibility, how this could possibly happen, because, but then the angel answers and explains. It says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And then I think this next verse shows Mary's attitude completely. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And I think that many times we hear God speak to us through His word, and we struggle and struggle and struggle to be like this, where we just say, "Lord, whatever you want for me, I'll do it. This is what I want in my life. I want to please you. I want to do those things that are difficult. I want to do those things that are hard. I want to do those things that you want me to do. I just want to please you." And I think that Paul reflects that same attitude. Back to our verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He reflects that same attitude in the idea that he says here right at the beginning, he says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more." Now, the beginning of this whole chapter, in this chapter, he's explaining why it is that he has the right to ask them to take care of him financially, to take care of his needs. But he also explains why he hasn't, because he didn't want to hurt the gospel among them. He didn't want to hurt the opportunity to work with them, to have it affect them in a negative way. And I think that many times we are unwilling to be that type of a servant. Not unwilling in the sense that we wouldn't say that we're willing to do it, but that we don't actually do it. You see, Paul explains, he says, "I didn't do this. I didn't want it to be chargeable to you. I didn't want you to think the wrong thing. I wanted to do this." And he sums it up, "For although I have made myself a servant unto all." That is such a difficult concept for us to think of. In the United States, here is the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I'm sure that most all of you, if not all of you, love this country and that opportunity that we have to be free. And one of the main reasons that people came to this country in the first place was to have that freedom to be able to serve God in the way that their government wouldn't tell them how to do that. But that attitude needs to continue on with God in a little bit stronger method of being not just happy in my circumstances, but being happy in Him. Because the circumstances really mean nothing as far as what we say it means nothing. To some people, it does mean something. And when it means something to them, that can distract from what our focus ought to be on God. I was, I had something in my mind that I wanted to say, and I just forgot. Oh, I remember what it was. When I was in school, I played trumpet from the time I was in fourth grade, so about 12 years old, or was it, what did I say, fourth grade, 10 years old, until, and I still have a trumpet. Well, somebody else has it right now. Where is there you are. You still have it, right? It's still good. Okay. And Andre's practicing it, or at least he says he is, and so now that I've embarrassed him in front of everybody, I'm sure he'll probably go home and practice it tonight so he can play Auld Lang Syne for tomorrow night for the New Year's Eve. But he, you know, this playing a trumpet had some great benefits for me. As I was growing up, I happened to play in high school in marching band, and I loved marching band. And one of the things that I learned to love was marching band music. Now, who is famous for marching band music? Sousa, okay? And I'd heard some of his music before, but I had never knew even who it was until I got to high school and my band teacher taught us all that. But my band teacher also happened to be the director for the Washington Redskin Marching Band. And I got the opportunity to go and watch, at that time, my favorite team play in really, really good games, march in those games, and go watch them personally, which in my situation would have been an impossibility otherwise. And all that made me a very happy boy growing up. I loved playing my trumpet. The night that the Redskins won their first Super Bowl, and Lurdy knows this story already, but I went around with my trumpet, because it was down in, it was in San Diego where they had won, and so I went around with my trumpet with my family and friends, our neighbors, and we marched around for about an hour and a half playing Hail to the Redskins, which some of you know, but Hail to the Redskins, it just excited, and it was such a wonderful time of enjoyment for us to do that. That's happiness, that's freedom for me to be able to do that. But what freedoms do we take or allow us to be joyful in with the Lord? What kind of things get us excited for Him? What kind of things really cause us to do some things that would make Him excited, that would make other Christians scream out, oh, that's amen, that's awesome, that's great, I'm so excited, I want to be a part of that, I want to be like that. And I think Paul here, another part, I may talk about it a little bit tonight, just depends on how much time there is, but in Timothy, Paul had an opportunity to carry on that excitement that he had further than his life allowed him to. And that excitement that he had and that encouragement he wanted Timothy to do, well, that excitement, that encouragement is something that we can also pass on to others. And I think that one of the things that, with Mary and her willingness to sacrifice and Paul with his willingness to sacrifice here, it's an attitude that is necessary for us as Christians to have, especially in the times that we live in. Because the times that we live in are not great. When I was in, when I first started going to church in the Air Force and started attending a Baptist church and where they actually preached the gospel. And I went to a Methodist church when I was growing up, and one thing I noticed right away, they did not preach the gospel. They preached being good, doing good things, mostly the Beatitudes and doing the right things and treating others as you would have them treat you and golden rule, all that. They taught all of that stuff, and that was good, but the part that helps you to be that way, they never taught, the part about salvation, about who Jesus Christ was. I knew it because I had gone to a vacation Bible school at a Bible-believing church, and they had taught that there, and I knew that that was the right thing. You know, that attitude, though, is not something that we just come by naturally. And when I say naturally, I'm talking about in our own personal inner being, our own sin nature, flesh person does not naturally want to go and do the things to serve God. That's not what we want to do. We have to have our minds and our hearts changed for that to occur. And so you think of some attitudes in the Bible, of some things that people were willing to do. The first one that I thought of was the apostles. When they were taken before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin told them and threatened them that, okay, what you guys did, you healed that man, but we don't want you to speak anymore, or you're going to be in serious trouble, or you're going to be beaten. And they went back and they told all the people what they had said. And what did they do? Oh, maybe we should change our methods. Maybe we should, you know, maybe we should try a little bit, you know, just to, you know, talk to people individually. Maybe we should. A lot of things that they did not do. They didn't do those things. They weren't afraid of that. What they asked for was boldness to do what God had told them to do, and that was to preach the gospel. And I'm not saying that those other things are wrong, to try to build a relationship with somebody or to try to invite people to church. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm saying is they had a job to do that God had told them. Jesus Christ directly had told them, preach the gospel. That was their job. They did that job, and they asked for boldness. And they weren't afraid to do anything other than what God wanted them to do. They were afraid to not do what God wanted them to do, if anything. And that fear that they could have had from the threats that were there, they did not allow that to control their lives. And we need to be the same way. We need to, when we have that possibility of fear, we need to say, God, I know this is right. I know this is what I need to do. I don't know how you're going to do it. It's a little bit nerve-wracking. It's a little bit scary. But please give us the strength and help us to do that. Now, they caused an earthquake when they did it. I think about when I was in this church back in Virginia, and I was a bus captain. And I remember one time our pastor preached something about in Acts, and I think it was in Acts 4. It may have been Acts 5, 6, but the first time they went to Sanhedrin, the second time he says, you filled Jerusalem with your teachings. And I remember right then God convicted me. And it says, have I even filled my bus route, the area that I was covering, my bus route, with the gospel? Have I invited everyone I could invite? Have I given out tracts or invitations to come to church or witness to people that God's given me the opportunity to? And that was a conviction to me to do that. But I can try on my own, but I tell you what, without God's power, you're not going to be very, you're not going to accomplish very much. I think of also the attitude of Moses and Aaron. You remember in the story when the children of Levite, the ones that were rebelling against God, and how they had turned against God, and God had swallowed some of them up with the earth, and then the rest of them he sent fire out from the Lord and burned them to a crisp, basically. And then Aaron was told, was it Aaron or one of the sons of Levi? I don't think it was Aaron, but it was, I think it was his son Eleazar, went and he gathered all those brass things together and made a plate as a reminder to them about this time. And the next day, what happened? What did the people do? Does anybody remember? Anybody, who was that? What did the people want to do? They complained to Moses. They got upset with him. Because they'd say, you killed the children of the Lord. You're the one that did it. It was your fault, Moses and Aaron. Not the ones who had rebelled, but it was Moses and Aaron's fault. And then right away, what did Moses and Aaron do? Here already, God's shown his anger toward these people and their rebelliousness. He's had it up to here, basically. All right, you know how dads and moms say that. I've had it up to here. All right, he actually has had it up to there. And probably even a little higher. And so he, right away, he sends out a plague. But Moses and Aaron, what do? They, as soon as they complained, they turn around and he asked God and bowed before God and fell before him on their faces. And what a difference. And as soon as Moses did that and Aaron did that, it says that Moses says to Aaron, go out and fill your censer with fire from the altar and go out there and stop the plague. 17,400 people still died on that day. But Moses and Aaron, in spite of God's anger, were not afraid to do what they knew that God really wanted to see from them and really from all the Israelites, and that was that love that they had for one another. The relationship that they had with God allowed them to know right away God's heart and beg for forgiveness, knowing that He is a forgiving God, knowing that He is a God that will show grace in that type of a situation. And then one other attitude, go to Romans chapter 9. One other attitude I wanted to show you. In Romans chapter 9, Paul here is talking about, in the book of Romans, which is a very good book for doctrine of salvation, but Romans chapter 9, he talks about something that he wishes. And so chapter 9, verse 1 says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Paul, he said, if it was possible, he said, this is how much I really want to see God's people saved. I really want to see God's people blessed. And that is that I would be willing to die for them all. If it were possible, I'd be willing to die for them all. And with that being the case, I'm willing to do it, even though it's not possible, but I really am willing. And he says, and to me, the first part right there, I say the truth in Christ and lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. That heart, that love that he had is an attitude that we need so desperately in our day. Look, we're heading into a time, we're already in a time, but we're heading for even more difficult times as Christians with this world. And I'm not just talking about because we're in the Northwest and there are a whole bunch of liberals here and a lot of people that don't believe in Jesus Christ and the least church, you know, the state in the country and in competition with whatever other state is the least church in the country. The fact is that the love of many, as the Bible says, is waxed cold, as Jesus had promised was going to happen. And we, as His children, need to shine brighter and show that love even greater than ever in the past. And I can tell you this, that love like that has more of an effect on people than Let me rephrase that. Giving God's word to people has a much greater effect when they know that you love them as well. And I'm not talking about in any way of expression verbally. I'm talking about doing something to show that love for them. When you do something for someone, when you're there for them, when you talk with them, when you help them, when you give to them, when you show all kinds of concern for them, whatever it is that you do, give gifts, whatever it might be, and you then have that opportunity to share the gospel, then they're going to listen. They will listen so much better then than if you just come down and say, you know, the Bible says that you shouldn't have done that in the first place, because when you do that, this is what's going to happen. They don't need that at that time. They need that expression of love. They need that expression of understanding that God cares about them in spite of the situation that they're in. And that's what our job is. And Paul had that attitude. And I say, Abby, you can verify this. What is it that we need? Here, I'll ask you, Abby. What is it that we need to be thinking of more first in front of anything else? Well, I do say that, but there's another one I was thinking about when thinking about other people. Yes, to put them above yourself. And it's so true. The Bible, you know, Paul emphasizes, think of others as, or esteem others to be better than yourselves. Think of others as being more important than you are. That's what Paul is talking about. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And he's talking about being esteeming others better than themselves. Look at in verse 19 again. He says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." And he describes the ways that, what things that he's done. "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." And the idea, we can go into detail, is what he's talking about with the Jews and the those that are under the law and the uncircumcised, or those that are them without the law, and then also the weak. We can talk about who they are. It doesn't matter. The point is, he's talking about everybody. He will do whatever it takes to be able to share the gospel and to be able to win and save some. He doesn't know who's going to decide for Christ, but I can tell you this. The interesting thing, and we were talking with Eris a little bit this afternoon, and he was telling us a little bit about his testimony and just some of the things, and thinking how different each person's life is, and yet somehow God reaches all of us. And if we each gave our testimonies of how things started out and how we came to know the Lord, they would be so different from each other that we'd have to say it has to be a supernatural occurrence for all of us to be saved and to be here together to serve Christ in one place. It has to be. And I think that's what Paul is aiming for. He's just trying to do whatever he can so that God can save some people. And then all he has to do is just do what God wants him to do in order to do that. He'll do anything to do it. He'll serve in any way that he can serve. Now, in that next verse, he says, "And this I do," in verse 23, "for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Not only was he doing it for God, but he was doing it for the benefit of the Corinthian church, for them. He was doing it for them as well. He was esteeming every single other person, no matter how horribly they treated him, every single other person as being more important than he was. And isn't that exactly the attitude that Christ had when he came to earth? Isn't that exactly the type of thing that Christ did for the worst sinner in the world Paul described himself as well, but to all of us who we don't really know our lives and our secret lives and sins that we may have been a party to, or things that we, what kind of people we have been or are, or even things we have done or will do. But the truth is, no matter what, Paul's whole attitude was, everybody else is more important than I am. And we look at that and we think in our minds, no, Paul, you're so much more important. I mean, look at, we've got so much of the Bible from you. It's not from Paul. That's what he's trying to get across. That's from God. That's because he allowed God to use him in whatever way God wanted to use him. Remember what Jesus says, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you have to be the servant of all. And that's exactly what Paul did. And so my encouragement to you would be this year, as we get ready for 2019. Seems kind of strange to say that. You know, here it is, 2019 coming up. I used to think, oh, I wonder if we'll ever even see the year 2000. And then, I have no idea how many more years I may see. I may not even see 2019. Who knows? Which would be fine with me, really. Oh, sorry, sweetheart, I'm not. I would miss you, but I wouldn't if I was dead. But if I was gone. But it's exciting to think about. You can have two ways to look at it. You can say, oh man, I wonder what's going to happen this next year, because we've already had these things happen, and look what's coming next, and oh, it's going to be so hard. Or we can say, oh man, I can't wait to see what I can do for God next year. I can't wait to say, all right, I messed up, forgetting those things that are behind, pressing forward to those things that are before, just forgetting all that stuff and saying, all right, God, it's time. Let's go. I'm ready. Let's go forward. Help me to be your servant. Help me to do what you want me to do. And no matter what your situation is, to the weak, I became as weak. And a servant doesn't matter what your position is. You are a servant. There may be limitations, but the master knows what those are. And in fact, he says, you are weak, he is strong. And we need to make sure that we, as his servants, are willing to do whatever it is and then watch him work and watch him do great things with your life. Let's go ahead and bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, you are great. You are wonderful. You are so much more than, Lord, what we deserve. And yet, Lord, we know that you do care about us. You do love us. Lord, you are our master. And I pray that, Father, through your word, through our willingness to be your servant, through so many different things, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful to you. That, Father, we would be willing to be the servant that you desire us to be. That, Father, we would give up the things that we want. That we would be willing to put ourselves and our own personal desires aside so that we can serve you with our whole heart. And Father, I ask that as we think about this next year, and Lord, the opportunities that might be there, the things that you might have us to do, and Lord, how we as a church and as a church family, Lord, the things that we can accomplish together because of what you do through us as a church, that Father, we'd be looking forward to that, that we'd be willing to set aside the things that we have, that we desire, that we want for you, that we can see you work in our lives, that we can see you have victories and help us to see how much easier it is, Lord, when we give up what we want to do the things that you want us to do. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength and wisdom to every day, Lord, as we wake up in the morning to say to you, Lord, this is for you, and help us to do the things, and Lord, to be the people that you want us to be. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.